Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are moving along now in Romans chapter 12, and we come to verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. The first part of the verse speaks of harmony in the body of Christ, and the second part of humility necessary for all of God's people to become Christ-like. Harmony. Be of the same mind one toward another. More literally, that means thinking the same thing toward one another. And thus the result is living in harmony with one another. And what is it that these instructions require? Be of the same mind toward one another. Well, first of all, it requires unity of mind among believers. But the question is, what precisely is that, and how do we define it, and how far do we press it? Because it ought to be apparent that it is impossible for every Christian to have exactly the same mind about everything. And I think we would recognize that in this world, such a goal is actually not desirable, because what is required to make everyone think alike is going to be very unwelcome and very counterproductive. So, what are we talking about? This unity of mind among believers. And there are two things, actually, that could be considered. One is a unity of mind regarding opinions, and the other is a unity of mind regarding feelings. And this may help us get over the hump of understanding what this instruction requires. Unity of mind among believers. Does that mean that we should have the same opinion about everything? The same identical understanding of every portion of Scripture? Well, as a matter of fact, unity of mind in regard to opinion is certainly desirable, and I think is actually the ultimate scriptural goal, according to Ephesians 4:13. But we're not there yet. And really, we're not going to get there until we get to heaven. So, what are we talking about here? Be of the same mind toward one another. We need to realize that there's a difference between having the same mind with one another and having the same mind toward one another. And I think that little preposition is the key to understanding what Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is instructing us to do. We are to have unity of mind toward one another. That is, in the area of feeling more than in the area of opinion. What we're talking about here is harmony in relations more than unity in truth. Now, unity in truth, I say again, is the ultimate goal. And by the way, the way to have that kind of unity is not to diminish doctrine, as many people think. That's a shortcut, but in the long run, it is counterproductive. The way to have unity of doctrine is to be more attentive to the Word of God. Not less, more attentive to doctrine, not less, more attentive to theology, not less. The more we study and the Scriptures together and wrestle with those difficult parts of Scripture and talk over our differences of understanding and our reasons for our various differences, the more we will be able to arrive at unity of doctrine, unity of opinion. And of course, when we are with the Lord in heaven, we will have absolute unity. Every question will be answered. Every difference will be resolved. Every one of God's children will have the same doctrine, the same interpretation of every passage in the Word of God. Isn't that astounding to even think about it? We who are accustomed to the way things are here upon the earth now. But that is not what this verse is talking about. Be of the same mind, not with one another, but be of the same mind toward one another. Thinking the same things with respect to one another. Which is another way of saying, having the same concern for others as you would for yourself. Ah, now we're beginning to understand. Be of the same mind toward one another. That is, have the same concern for one another that you would have for yourself. Have the same concern for other people's needs that you have for your own needs. And do not be partial. Do not have more concern for some members of the body of Christ than you have for other members of the body of Christ. Don't be more concerned about the needs of the rich than you are of the needs of the poor, for example. 1 Timothy 5:21, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. How about that? These instructions Paul gave to Timothy and to the church under his charge, which at that time was the church at Ephesus, that are found in the first epistle to Timothy. And I don't have time to go back through all of those, but there's a lot of instructions there. And this one, toward the end of the book, Paul says, I charge you most solemnly that you do all of these things without partiality. You don't apply these instructions one way to some people and a different way to other people. Isn't that one of the big problems in society? Yes, even one of the big problems in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That some people receive favorable treatment, more favorable treatment than others. In fact, some people expect it, some people demand it. And we must not do it. We must treat everybody alike, without partiality. The same rules apply to everyone equally, and we ought to have the same concern for everyone equally. Yes, for the least important members of the body as much as the most important, whatever important means. Important as we measure it. We can't measure it as God measures it because we don't know how God measures it, and only God sees the heart. But there are people that would seem to us to be more valuable, more important to the work of Christ, to the well-being of the church, to the ongoing ministry of the Word of God, and so forth and so on. And some people that are pillars of the church and maybe are big financial supporters of the church and are more influential in society and are part of our church, and they're very important to us and to our well-being, and so If there's a need there, we want to make sure that that need is met. And there are other people that, well, they're here among us, but frankly, they don't seem to be contributing much to us. Don't have any standing in society, don't have much influence in our community, don't have many resources in order to be able to further the cause of Christ. So if they have a need, then their need is not quite as important as some other people's needs. Shame on us. Shame on the church. Shame on you. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind toward one another. And the idea is that we are aiming at the same goals for one another as we have for ourselves. And that requires a new mindset. This is a Christian attitude very different from the world's attitude. For the world is continually playing up to the rich and the famous and the beautiful and the influential and ignoring those who are less desirable as the world views them. And the Bible is telling us that Christians should have a very different mindset. The church should respond in a very different way. The same concern, the same compassion, the same goals, the same response to everyone in the body of Christ, regardless of their standing in society. Be of the same mind toward one another. Now, does this mean sacrificing truth for the sake of harmony? No. No. Dear friend, you need to understand that truth is more important than unity. Can I say that again? Truth is more important than unity. Unity is important, but truth is more important than unity. In the long run, unity will only be achieved as truth is received and valued. But in our day, many Christians are endeavoring to achieve unity at the expense of truth. Unity by diminishing truth. And that's the wrong way to go about it. One good example of that is in Galatians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul rebuked the Apostle Peter publicly for the sake of truth. No, truth is more important than unity, but unity is important. And we ought to achieve as much unity as we possibly can. Where disagreement is unavoidable, maintain an attitude of Christian kindness, charity, even while you are maintaining truth, not compromising it. Don't let disagreements between Christians degenerate into hostility and divisiveness, as it so often does. Does this mean that every division over doctrine or biblical practice is pleasing to God? No. Pride causes contention. And thus, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, as the verse goes on to say, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. And thus we're moving on to the attribute of humility, which we will have to take up on the broadcast next time. Actually, next time is Christmas Day. I'm not sure whether I'll take it up on that particular day or not. But at any rate, we need to understand how important it is to achieve harmony in the body of Christ in a Christ-like way. Jesus never sacrificed truth for the goal of unity, but oh, how Christ worked hard to achieve unity by his Christ-like love and humility. And that's exactly the same way that we should be developing harmony within our families, within our churches, yes, as much as possible, within our community. May God help us to do it. Until next week at the same time, Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.